I would rather have a day job than be a Pokemon master.
Han Solo is clearly more attractive than Indiana Jones.
I would take the Star Wars trilogy over the Matrix trilogy any time.
The Legend of Zelda versus Super Mario. Who's better in bed, Jafar or Gaston? And would Thanos masturbate with the Infinity Gauntlet or not? Every week, Nerd Rage the Great Debates brings you the funniest comics, writers, and podcasters to settle some of geekdom's most divisive topics. Find us on Spotify or wherever you find podcasts.
Hi, you're listening to the Escapist Comics Podcast. I'm Jacob Rubin.
I'm Jessica Baldoni.
And we got a lot of future state to get into this week, don't we?
We do. And some other things finally as well.
Okay, great.
Yes.
What do you want to do first?
Today is Monday, February 15th. I think we forgot to say the date last week, so, or last time.
Oh, sure.
During our interview. So I thought we'd catch up on the dates. Okay. But yeah, let's just get into the comics as well. Because there's also some other big news we have to talk about. And just WandaVision. Yeah. We're definitely going to talk about WandaVision.
People, yeah, we'll save the WandaVision chatter for the end. So if you're not caught up, just don't listen to the end.
Yeah. People want to know, though.
At this point, everybody's caught up.
They have to. I mean, you have to want to watch.
Yeah.
All right. So, Leia, let's get into Dark Detective first.
Okay, sure.
Let's do it. All right. So
I have one quick question about this Future State crossover, because I've read a few of these Future State comics now. Are they all happening in the same timeline?
I think so, though it is a little confusing.
Because like the three comics that you gave me, mm-hmm. Dark Detective, and they're all issue ones, Dark Detective, Legion of Superheroes, and Superman versus Imperius Lex, All appear to take place at drastically different points in the timeline.
Yeah, I agree. When I read Imperius Lex, I was very confused about like the age of Lois, which we'll get into when we talk about that one. And it never tells you where it takes place in the timeline.
Yeah, like for all I know, I think that any casual observer could possibly infer that DC is just like, we're going to do different future timelines for all these things. I mean, these are all just miniseries. It's not like these are the future of these books.
Right. I know so, for the Batman stuff and the Wonder Woman stuff, they're all taking place at the same time. So
yeah, because one of the Fox boys was in Dark Detective.
Mm-hmm. So
is
I
that the one that's Batman or the other one?
That was in Batman.
No, is oh. The oh no, that was in Grifters.
Right.
Not in Dark Detective.
Right, but they all talk about the magistrate and all of that. So I assume that's all supposed to be in the same timeline. So I imagine that they are all supposed to be running across the same timeline.
Yeah.
And wherever that timeline may be.
Right.
Maybe they'll expose that later down the line.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool ideas.
In these books. And Dark Detective is by... Mariko Tamaki, right? Or Jillian Tamaki? Mariko Tamaki.
Yeah, are they related or is that
they're
cousins. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, this is Mariko Tamaki. Dan Mora does amazing art and colors.
Really, really great art, yeah.
Oh God, the art is so good in this one. It's probably my favorite, actually, the art.
Yeah, when he busts out his Batman, it looks like prime Jim Lee before Jim Lee got like too complicated.
Yeah, definitely. And the colors are amazing. Obviously, Jordi Belair just really dials it up full notch in this. And the layouts are great too. It's so like Blade Runner-esque.
Mm-hmm.
Gotham just looks like Tokyo, you know, in the future.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. They really go like full Minority Report too a little bit with like the ads.
That's exactly. Everywhere. It's very Philip K. Dick. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm pretty
Blade
sure,
Runner.
Yeah, what our future is going to look like. So,
yeah, you can't have a rooftop fight scene in the rain in the future without people going, oh, Blade Runner.
Right. So they've already pointed out that Bruce Wayne is dead And then immediately we find out Bruce Wayne's not dead.
Yeah, like the page where we see that he's running.
Yeah.
He's visiting his own grave.
He was visiting his grave. We find out he's not actually dead. He's just in hiding, basically. He did get shot multiple times by one of the peacekeepers that the magistrate has been running. And he has to get fixed up by one of the underground sergeants, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been on the run basically since then and in hiding. But he still wants to be Batman.
Right? Yeah. No cape. This is a really different, interesting look.
Yeah, well, he doesn't have, he doesn't have Fox, Lucius Fox anymore to help him with all his tools. He doesn't have the money. He's basically abandoned. It's like Batman Year One all over again, right?
Start
from scratch. Or even less than that, because even in Batman Year One, he still had money to get all his fancy tools.
Yeah.
So, he's just starting completely all over again, which is a really interesting idea. My only thing was if he wanted to stay in hiding, doesn't he not want to be Batman anymore? Shouldn't he have a new costume completely?
Yeah, why doesn't he do that Spider-Man Identity Crisis thing? And he's like, now I'm, I don't know. I mean, how many other characters has Batman played? Now I'm, wasn't he Starman in one issue?
Oh, yeah, he was.
Yeah, there was a random, because they touched on this in James Robinson's Starman series. At one point, Batman couldn't be Batman anymore, so he... Right. Takes all his bat stuff and puts stars on it. Now I'm Starman. That was just for one issue.
That would be funny if they brought that back.
Yeah, of all
or
things.
Or he could be Catman.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what happened to Catman? He's probably dead right now.
Probably.
In this timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I know you didn't read issue 2 yet.
I did not.
But it really, issue 2 is a little bit longer. And issue 1's pretty short because then you get that big, what is it, like Red Hood type? I think Red Hood's a backup story, which I'm not a big Jason Todd fan. So I kind of just skipped the backup story.
I hope I never meet a big Jason Todd fan. I don't know what's really there to like.
There's really not.
Yeah.
You should have just stayed dead.
Yeah. Him being dead was such a great, a big Batman fuck up. Batman, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, Batman's made mistakes, but this is the one that people made fun of it all the time whenever there'd be a fight in the Batcave and the Jason Todd costume gets knocked over and that's how you know it's gone too far. Yeah, but so what? That was good.
Was good.
and then they were like, oh, well, now we'll kill Stephanie Brown and now she's the new Batman fuck up. And then they brought her back, which I think is fine because I like Stephanie Brown more than Jason Todd.
Yeah.
They overturned a democratic election. Jason Todd was killed democratically. And then they're like, never mind.
Never mind. Now he's just a crazy person.
Yeah.
Who kills people. And we still like him for some reason. But he's not funny like Deadpool.
I guess, yeah. Maybe if Jason Todd was funny, I'd like him. If he was I don't know.
A Deadpool.
I don't know what they could do to Jason Todd.
Yeah, there's nothing in it.
Deadpool breaks the fourth wall, and also because Deadpool can't die, he could just do whatever, and that's what's... I guess Jason Todd came back from the dead. That'd be a cool take for him. He's like, I've already been killed. What else can you do to me? That's an angle.
Yeah.
Works for Buffy.
Yeah. Oh God, we can't talk about Buffy right now. It's a sensitive soft topic for me.
Yeah, that's true.
No, okay. Anyways, moving on. So yeah, in the second issue, Batman's being, or Bruce Wayne's being hunted even more so by more peacekeepers. They go into how he gets killed and how he brings himself back from the dead, let's say. So basically the peacekeeper shoots him and for some unknown reason, there's another dead body floating right below or right above him. And they uses that dead body to trick the peacekeeper into thinking that that's him. Cause it looks just like, and he's like, and he, they do say, he's like, it was just happenstance that this dead body looked just like me.
I was like, oh, well, Christ.
I know. I was like, wow. Well, real lucky.
DC stealing plot points from Mad Men. That's unexpected.
Yeah, so.
Did you watch Mad Men?
I did watch Mad Men, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess I did steal that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, so he's not running around with this guy's name.
No, he his name is Jeff now.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, yeah. Is that in issue two?
It is in issue two.
Oh, okay, so he is he did switcheroo.
Yeah, he did. Well, he just took a dude's name. Apparently, it's name. His name is Jeff.
Oh, the guy who the body.
I don't know if it's that guy's body.
Oh, okay. So it's not a direct Mad Men.
No, it's not direct. No. But I don't know why he named himself Jeff. It could have been anybody, but he chose.
I mean, Matches Malone is right there. Why not honor the history?
So yeah, and he lives in a crazy dude's basement. Because this guy has no technology in his house, so no one can trace him there. And he is trying to figure out how he can take down the magistrate. So that's pretty much issue two for you. But I like it.
Do you think he'll team up with the new Batman?
I hope so. I mean, I assume that's where they're going to go with it eventually. Mm-hmm. There's only a few more issues. Issue three is out. I have not gotten to it yet, but that looks like where it's going so far. And he also got a cool bat cycle in this one as well.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
You got to have a motorcycle. Batman's got to have a motorcycle.
Yeah. We also read Superman versus Imperious Lex.
This one is my favorite of the ones you sent me.
Yes, this one is pretty great. Yeah. Well, Mark Russell wrote it. Also art by Steve Q. I mean, Mark Russell.
The art is excellent.
Yeah, the art is excellent. I mean, Mark Russell is great. He just has his own style. You can always tell if he wrote a comic because he just has a way of delivering conversations. And I mean, Prez was such a great series. I will.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I see that.
I'm so sad they never got back to it like they were supposed to.
Oh, really?
Mm. Yeah. They were supposed to have a second cycle of that and it just never happened. Probably because Vertigo, you know, went downhill is my guess. Yeah. But yeah, just the very start of this when they're having a council of United Planets. Mm-hmm. This one actually starts in the not so distant future, so maybe this one is further along in the future state. Like, maybe.
I mean, the things that happen in this series are obvious. Like, you'd think that if something like this were to go down, that it would have been mentioned in the Batman book. Oh, by the way, Earth is the new home of the United Federation of Planets, or whatever.
Right. Something. It looks different too. Like, yeah. It looks brighter. I mean, I know this is Metropolis, right? So
Metropolis is always, but like the architecture, all these buildings look like rocket ships.
Yeah, everything looks newer. And Lois is way older. Like, yeah. I would think Bruce and Lois are about the same age, probably, right? But
yeah,
Lois looks like she's in her late 50s, probably. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I mean, she's gone full gray. So like,
yeah, she's gone full gray.
I'd say even 60.
Yeah, she could be 60s too.
Yeah,
and then Superman himself too looks way older as well. So
older than Kingdom Come Superman.
Yes, he is full gray as well.
I like this new costume for him. It looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't really. It looks more like mature, I guess.
Yeah, it has almost a Kingdom Come look as to it. No, I still miss the underpants. I think they should always have the underpants on. It holds up the pants.
Yeah, I get it. I get why they think it looks stupid because it does kind of look stupid. But I mean, come on, it's Superman.
It's classic.
The iconic look.
It is. So yeah, basically they're having a meeting about how Lex Luthor is, he owns a planet now, right? He runs an entire planet.
Yeah.
We don't know how he got there. They don't really address that, but he, yeah, he owns his own planet. He's been running it for a while. Of course, he's probably doing something nefarious there because he's Lex Luthor. And he's never
good. You know that this is like a modern version of, they did the storyline in the 60s.
Which one was that?
It was like, it wasn't super long running. It was he just found a planet under a, I don't think it was a red sun. I think it was a different colored sun. Superman didn't have his powers on this planet. Mm-hmm. And Luthor somehow, like, I think they're fighting and he's like trying to get away from Superman in a spaceship and Superman's chasing him, and then he crash lands on this planet and uses his intellect to basically like save some aspect of the planet, and then they immediately start worshiping him. And so by the time Superman arrives, even though it's only been like a day, Lex Luthor's already fully in charge. Then they fight, Superman takes him back to Earth to like throw him in jail. And then later, even though Lex stays on Earth after he breaks out of jail and whatever, way later down the line, he's like, you know, I'll go back and see how that planet's doing. And they still worship him and they still call the planet Lexor. So they like, it was a recurring thing for a few. There's a really iconic cover of Superman and Luthor having a shirtless fist fight under a blue sun.
Yeah.
I think that's on Lexor.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. The aliens
on Lexor, that comic looked just exactly like humans, white people. It's just a planet of more white people.
Of course.
Just like Krypton and Daxam. Yeah.
Right. They real creative. Back then. So yeah, he's made an army of reticulants. Sounds like replicants.
Yep.
Speaking of creative.
Blade Runner.
Yeah, Blade Runner, exactly. And he's basically saved the people, right? From his own robots.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's how he's won their favor on Lexor. That's what I gathered anyways from reading this. Yeah.
Hey, that makes sense.
Good plan.
Lex News is such a great, not at all subtle.
Oh, Fox News? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's, for that's sure. Like, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, perfect nod to today, obviously, as well.
Yeah.
He does so many like little quirky things with this, just with like, he has he's talking to his own robot and he has this little power doll. And of course he's going to make action figures of himself. It's perfect. Right. Yeah. And he wants it to be bigger and bigger biceps, bigger muscles, bigger abs. Mm-hmm.
What he has right now, it looks like a little He-Man. He wants it.
Yeah. Just like a little He-Man. This is a really fun book. I had a lot of fun with this one. Definitely recommend it.
It's cool. It has like a fun retro feel in a way that a lot of Superman comics don't nowadays.
Yeah, exactly. It's what I miss from a lot of Superman comics that have been taking them way too seriously recently. So definitely highly recommend this one.
So have you read more than the first issue?
No, I've only read this first. Only two are out so far.
Okay. I want to know what's going on with his face because it looks like he's wearing some sort of mask.
It does look like that. Absolutely.
They don't talk about it.
No, they don't talk about it at all. The only thing I could think of is, you know, he does still wear that giant robot suit and he kind of like fits it in there. But yeah, I think you're right. I think it is a mask.
When he's looking at the doll, when he's in the tub, his skin is like a slight, like it's a perfectly, the only thing that makes me think that is like the fact that, I mean, it's got like the edge around it, but his face is complete. Even the statue of him looks like it has a mask on.
Oh yeah, I didn't notice that. That's interesting. Yeah, I'm sure they'll
reveal.
Well, I'll send you the next issue and we'll get back to that later.
Nice. It turns out it's actually Brainiac. That'd be
That would be cool. Yeah. All right, you also read Legion?
I did.
I did not read Legion, so tell us about it.
Okay, well, you know how the Legion of Superheroes is in the future? These guys, like, that whenever they bring the Legion into any of these like alternate futures, the Legion is already an alternate future, and really nothing that I can tell about what's happening in these other comics is being reflected in this comic. It's just another Legion reboot. They're sort of divided into two camps. There's references to some of the story, like how Chameleon Boy was the son of RJ Brand. So they mention that again. Triplicate Girl, one of them has died, and now she's Duo Damsel, which is a thing. That's another thing they've done before. Brainiac 5 appears to be some form of shapeshifter. The art is like distinctive and neat, and I like how all the characters, because you know it's the Legion, so they're all like humanoid, right, wearing similar-ish costumes.
Yeah, it's still Riley Rothmo doing the art, and Bendis is still writing, right?
Oh yeah, he is.
Yeah.
That's odd. It really doesn't feel like a Bendis book because people are speaking in complete sentences. which, if I'm being honest, is something I like about Bendis's writing. The fact that he will do these like super conversational, that is not in this book at all. It did not feel like a Bendis book in that way. But yeah. The art is cool. The costume designs are cool. I just don't think that we need another Legion reboot. Like we had the 60s Legion went all the way into the late 80s. And then we got the 90s reboot, and then we got the 2000s reboot, and then we've had the 2010s reboot. And this is just another, I don't know if this is permanent or if this is just like for this event.
Yeah, I think it's just for this event.
Okay.
They just finished last 2 weeks ago. They just finished up the last Legion run that Ben just wrote. So.
There is a very cool thing how Bouncing Boy is in this comic essentially a political extremist, and it shows him bouncing from Kuluan ship to Kuluan ship, crashing through them just at like super fast speeds, destroying ships by flinging his body and like blowing up their engine, then boom, another one, ping pong across the sky like a pinball. And the Legion's trying to get in contact with him, and he's like, no, this is me now, I don't need you anymore.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's a neat
No, he's fighting the evil Kaluan regimes. He's just like, the Legion isn't effective enough. I'm doing this on my own.
Got it.
He's the Wolverine. Right. He's like Wolverine of the Legion.
That's interesting.
And then in the end, he's back and they're all back together. But yeah, it's a cool, different take. I don't know. It's only two issues, so.
Yeah. Well, I think they're kind of seeing what sells and then seeing what sticks, you know?
Yeah.
And that one, I don't think is going to stick. It didn't sell very well. It doesn't sound like you were as entertained by it. And even being a Legion fan.
Yeah, my Legion fandom, I feel like I'm a big Legion fan. And then I actually read a few Legion comics and I'm like, I'm not as big of a Legion fan as I thought I was. Like, I loved the Mark Waid reboot from like mid-2000s.
Yeah.
I thought that was such a cool different thing. A lot of that was because Barry Kitson's art was just pushing the whole thing up, and right, the costume designs are so like cool. And yeah, it was awesome. And then I went back and read like the 90s Archie Legion. Yeah, I don't know. I think that I think it's a great premise for like then they had a Saturday morning cartoon for a while in the 2000s right, with Superboy that was really, really good. And I think that's exactly what the Legion should be like. Let's just have a shitload of characters. We can take parts of them and have them go on fun missions depending on what the story we want. Okay, this one we'll get Triplicate Girl. This one we'll get Colossal Boy. We'll leave everybody else, you know?
Right.
I don't know. I don't know how to make the Legion relevant anymore.
Yeah. Somebody, they'll keep trying. I know that. They'll just keep trying.
Yeah. I think they kind of need someone from the present, quote unquote, to be there to like sort of offer the reader's perspective, like Superboy or Supergirl, or when it was Con-El, when it was Connor Kent, that was great.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know. It doesn't have to be a Kryptonian. It could be like, I don't know, Robin. How cool would that be?
Yeah. I know they tried to bring a lot of the Legion into the Supergirl show, and even that.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and even that couldn't keep my attention when I was watching the Supergirl show. It was just, little off. Yeah.
She dated Brainiac 5. That was the thing.
Yeah, it was strange. Yeah. Or, no, wasn't she dating Mon-El?
Oh, yeah, in the show. In the comic, she dated Brainiac 5.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So, all right. Well, there's our rundown of Future State books, right? Did you read it? That was all of them, right?
Those are the three that you sent me, yeah.
Right. Okay, so let me go over one book that I read this week that actually came out this week. From AWA Upshot, a new company that's been coming out with some pretty good books, actually. This one is called Casual Fling. You see that? It's kind
of, okay.
The tagline is "Sex is never safe."
is this written by that guy who came in and told us not to sell safe sex?
Yeah, it's that guy, exactly.
Okay, great.
This is written by Jason Starr. I think art by, oh God, I'm going to really mess up this name. Dalibor Taljic. It has a little C at the end with an apostrophe over it. I don't know what to do with that.
Oh, I think that's a ch sound.
A ch, so Taljic. Yeah. Taljic? That's probably right?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, we'll go with it. And then Marco Lesko. So this book was really good, actually. I don't like the tagline on the cover. I think that's dumb. But besides that, it's a really different story. It takes place in Manhattan. It's about a lawyer, and she's raising her family in, like I said, in New York, and she gets into some trouble when she has an affair, basically, with another lawyer. Mm. This is, like I said, a casual fling, if you will.
Right.
And it gets a little kinky. The guy puts a mask on. You know, he asks her, like, what's she into? They might even use some handcuffs or something. She just says, this is a one-night thing, you know. I shouldn't have done this. They leave it at that. She goes back home to her husband. They have, like, you know, she definitely hides it from him. She starts acting really guilty, you know, buys him like concert tickets. They say they should have a date night. The next day she goes back to work. The guy calls her immediately, the guy she had an affair with. And she says, you know, again, like, this was just a one night thing. Like, I don't want to have any more contact with you. I'm sorry. Let's leave it at that. And then the kind of like twist at the end, which I'm going to spoil right now for everybody.
Go for it.
Definitely a hook of the comic. he's like talking to her on the phone. So he's like, okay, yeah, no problem. And then they show him watching a video of them having sex. So he taped her. Yeah, he taped. And that's why he's wearing the mask. He was filming them. Yeah. So it's definitely, and that's why I wanted to share the hook, because like you're reading the whole comic and you're like, oh, it's kind of like Disclosure, I guess, you know, it's like about a woman having an affair, you know, and you're like, all right, I guess, like it really takes a little while to like get the hooks in. But then when it does, right, you're like, oh, it's this is the story, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it gets really gross. You feel instantly kind of like creeped out by it. But at the same time, right, it's really different from any other story or any other comic that's out there right now. Because I just really had to think about it. I'm like, I haven't read anything like this.
Yeah.
At all. It's not really a crime book. It's more like a blue collar crime, you know? But it's really fucked up.
I mean, he's basically going to use this thing to sort of like blackmail or just sort of fuck her life up in some way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But who knows how? What does he want?
He could do anything. Yeah. You know, he could use it to make her have more sex with him. Like, he could blackmail her. He could do something with her law firm. Like, who knows? But it was a really good hook. They did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
The art's really good. It's really moody. Yeah, it's good. I really like the books that this studio has been putting out so far. So I'm into it. Good job, AWA Upshot. I hate the Upshot.
That's the full title of the company?
AWA Upshot? AWA Upshot. I do like saying it, though.
So then the last book you sent me was Steak. Do you have Steak in front of you?
I do have Steak in front of me.
Okay, nice. Scout Comics.
Scout Comics.
By Byrne, Fantini, and Rodriguez.
David Byrne. Yeah.
Not that David Byrne.
Not that David Byrne. But what if it was?
David A. Byrne, Francesca Fantini, and letter. Oh, wow, she did all the art, color, and everything.
Mm-hmm. Which I do love the coloring of this book, let me say.
Yeah, like the Sin City style, like only things in color, what needs to be in color.
Yeah, different though than Sin City. It has like...
Yeah.
It does have like, yeah, the red. So we'll go
then to... it has gray.
Yeah, black and white. And then, yeah, the blood is all in red. And then, but then it has like interesting like lights of blue and rainbowy colors as well, but just to highlight certain things, which is really interesting. Well, I love the art in this book. I'm going to say that.
Yeah, I think the character designs are really good. And like that one panel that's just showing vampires from pop culture.
Yes.
I think is really cool. Because that's really, you know, that's hard to draw all these different, you know, people who look like real people. But that's clearly David Boreanaz.
Yes. Everything else about this book I do not like, I will say.
Yeah, I think the art and character designs and action is really good, but I think the panel layouts are kind of awkward.
Yeah, they are. The story I just thought was really kind of lame. I don't know. I don't want to like... It could have been good. Yeah.
I don't really get what's going on. Like, she fakes an injury. Mm-hmm. I don't know why she drinks the Slurpee. fakes an injury, sprays blood all over herself, gets picked up by some EMTs because she knows that they're vampires. How does she know this? How does she get the vampire EMTs? Are all EMTs vampires? Tases them, but then immediately gets fucked up. And then out of nowhere, her friend, who isn't her friend Sarah from the beginning, it's a different person, shows up and kills him with a sword.
Exactly.
And then just sort of, and then is kind of shitty to our hero and then leaves.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, the basic premise is that she grew up, right, with a vampire who's...
Oh yeah.
Who's her adopted sister or whatever, or she's adopted too. She's adopted. Yeah. Sister was a vampire, but didn't know she was a vampire till she was... a teenager?
Is that clear?
That's what it said, basically. If you didn't know, she was a vampire.
She's going to high school. She's cheerleading in the sun.
Right.
Like, what makes her a vampire?
Her sister? It says she's a vampire. It says, right here. It says, back to this guy, blah, blah, blah. All right. Yeah.
Sarah Smith's a vampire. You can tell she's got the freckles and the blue eyes and everything.
Right.
And they're going to school together, but then they don't.
She's in this like weird vampire cult thing. This is why it's confusing.
Yeah.
But she's definitely a vampire.
And then this person, Stake, whose first name is Angel, which, come on, man. If you're going to write a vampire book and you're going to feature an illustration of David Boreanaz, mm-hmm. Don't call your main character Angel.
Don't call her Angel. Don't do it. It's lazy writing. Okay.
It's so bad.
Yeah, it makes me so mad that they got such a good artist to do this and
these
beautiful colorings and then just like really failed on this story. Also, the way that this girl talks just drove me absolutely insane. Okay, so anyways, so the girl is definitely a vampire. not the main character. Her sister is a vampire. For some reason, she's caught up in this vampire cult thing. She has some kind of power. I don't know exactly what it is. They don't really explain that at all. There's bad vampires, I guess, and there's good vampires, supposedly. Yes.
Who?
I said they're in that weird vampire.
Who are the good vampires? No, who are the good vampires?
Well, I don't know. Her sister?
I guess.
Well, obviously, the other girl's a vampire, the hero vampire later who comes and kills, right? Isn't she a vampire too?
Is she? Hold on, let me go back to that page. I guess she has like glowing eyes.
Yeah, she's got the glowy eyes, so I assume she's a vampire. That's our only way to tell.
Also, and then when she kills these vampires, there's blood everywhere. But I thought, the rule, the vampire rules, I'm not saying that like vampires have to only work the way that they work in Buffy.
Right.
Or the way they work in, I don't know, Preacher. But when you kill a vampire, I don't think that there should be this much blood and then like a severed head and everything.
I mean, I think you can change the rules for that. That's fine. That doesn't bother me. What bothered me is, who is this girl? Why isn't it the sister? Like we said.
Yeah, I thought it was. I thought it was her because but the only difference is no freckles.
Right. It was very, yeah, like I said, it was very confusing. And also her doing these live streams of killing the vampires, and also the whole EMT setup. Like you said, how did she know that these EMTs were going to come and she was going to set them up? And then the really shitty, I'm going to write like a teenager and not have any idea how teenagers talk. Like it was just really annoying, the whole thing.
Yeah, I didn't care for this.
Yeah.
I mean, like the art was dope and like, but nothing about this makes me want to know what's going on. Like there's no narration. Considering how much narration and backstory there is at the beginning, the fact that this other vampire lady just shows up, kills these other vampires and bolts, but we have no idea who she is. Also, how is this being live streamed? Yeah. How is she holding her phone? Yeah. Is it her glasses?
Maybe. Yeah, they don't really explain that either.
Yeah.
Who knows? This needs a lot of work. We'll just say that.
Yeah. It does kind of feel like punching down to go after a company like Scout like this, but like,
Well, it's okay because I have another comic from Scout right here.
Okay.
Calls it. It eats what it. What feeds it? Sorry, it eats what feeds it. It's a fun title to say.
It eats what feeds it.
It eats what feeds it. That's it. Okay.
Okay.
So this is a 3-issue miniseries, and I just have the trade. It was a $9.99 trade to buy all at once because the issues were very short. So I just got this week. It just came out on Wednesday. And this was by, let me get to the title page, Max Hoven and Aaron Crow were the writers and illustrated by Gabriel, Umazark.
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 Great.
This is a really cool horror comic and it's really simple. It'll take you about 15 minutes to read it probably because it is not overly wordy whatsoever. And it is so cool and moody that like it's just basically full of like swampy green colors. I don't know if you could see that at all, Jacob. I know obviously people can't see it on the podcast, but
fairly swampy, yes.
Yes. The whole comic is just green and muddy, basically. That's the colors.
Okay.
Because it takes place in a Louisiana swamp.
Okay. Well, at least they're sticking with a brand.
Yeah. So basically it's about a woman who is hiring a young caretaker and she puts an ad out in the paper. This kid comes and wants to, take the job, obviously. And she's going to hire him. He has to live on the property with her. So it's like a live-in, work-in situation. She's beautiful. But there's some weird things going on. Every night he hears like screaming, the kitchen is full of bloody meat, like lots of bloody meat and carcasses.
Doesn't
appear that there's any animals on the property, so that's a little strange. And she just has him do some like very strange chores that you probably wouldn't normally do for a regular young beautiful woman.
Sure.
I don't want to go into too much more since it is pretty short and there's not, like I said, there's not much text to go into. And it is like, it's a horror comic. It reveals and it has some mystery to it. But it is very, very good. And so kind of redeemed Scout from that last book. So yeah, it eats what it feeds. Only $9.99 for 3 issues. Pretty good. I recommend.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. So that's all of the books for this week. Right?
That's all the books. All right. Should we take a short break?
Let's do it.
And then, all right, cool. We'll be right back after this musical break, or maybe nothing. Depends on how I feel when I'm editing. And we're back. And just to let all of our listeners know, this episode of the podcast is the Snyder Cut episode. Jack Snyder edited this episode, which is why it'll be 7 hours longer than necessary and have the Joker in it.
And it'll also be in black and white.
Yeah, this is the first black and white podcast. We did it. Science has figured it out.
It's the cinematic version, okay?
Oh my God. Every time I hear anything about the Zack Snyder cut, I like, you know, if it meant that I didn't have to go through this, I would remove the movie 300. I love the movie 300. I thought it was great. This is not worth it.
Nope, it's not worth it. Yeah, Zack Snyder's just all over the internet today. He's defending Batman v Superman. He's defending, you can't defend it. It's just not defendable.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Like, what's wild to me is that there's really nothing stopping DC from just doing what Marvel is doing. They could just, like, these stories aren't terrifically unique or original. You just have to take these characters, put them in. You could have a fucking bolt from the sky. You could have an easy to, like, just hit all of the same beats. No one will mind. It will not be a great movie, but it'll be a movie that will make money and that people, I guess all their movies make money, but
yeah.
Instead they're just going this weird route and like, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get people who want it. And I refuse to learn.
apparently, what does it say? This is a different. I thought he likened it to Citizen Kane's Rosebud. Batman v Superman. So it says one of the most mocked and meme-worthy moments in Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, is where Bruce Wayne finally sees the humanity in Clark Kent after learning their mothers are both named Martha. However, director Zack Snyder offered his defense and the often criticized moment. One of the hosts of iMinutemen, I don't know what that is. Is that a podcast? iMinutemen, okay.
Or a YouTube channel or a TikTok account, who knows at this point.
And likened it to Citizen Kane's Rosebud. In the single word represents such a significant part of the film. I clearly am a fan and are very interested in how Martha, the concept, it's central to the film. I mean, it's 100% the linchpin that holds the entire movie together, Snyder said. And I think it's indicative of the way that Batman v Superman was sort of received, and its central tenet was a sort of belittled and made fun of. Oh, poor Zack Snyder.
Okay, but like, what if... Okay, the success of Batman and Superman, the characters, have nothing to do with the fact that their mother's first names are both Martha. That's clear. Everyone can understand this.
Yeah.
What would Zack Snyder have done if Bill Finger and Jerry Siegel had a phone call where Bill Finger was like, oh, you named her Martha? Okay, well, then I'll name her, like, Doris. Then what happens? Honestly, Zack Snyder, honestly, how would you have it happen if this you didn't have this weird coincidence going back 70 years.
I don't know what he would have done.
Yeah, like...
Did he change your name to Martha? No, because he wouldn't tell you. Oh my God. Lord.
Oh Lord.
Like, he just is overthinking everything. He just thinks he's going to like save the DC universe with this cut. Like, it means so much to him. Like, this is how it's gonna happen. You know who's gonna save the DC universe? Is James Gunn. That's who's gonna save the DC universe.
I hope that they don't fuck that movie up. I mean, I'm definitely gonna watch that, because I mean, I just, the fact that Pete Davidson is in a superhero movie is too weird for me not to watch. But everything else about it sounds really good too. I should see Birds of Prey too. I still haven't seen that.
It's really good. I watched it
again.
Yeah,
I should. I gotta watch it. I gotta. It's on HBO Max, right?
Yeah, it is on HBO.
Yeah, I gotta get on that. But like, okay. So what have been the good DCEU movies? This is a real question. Birds of Prey, haven't seen it yet. Shazam, thought it was really nice. Wonder Woman, great. Mm-hmm. Aquaman,
no.
Okay, so not three.
there only three? Oh, yeah, of the new ones, I guess.
We're talking DCEU, the ones that are confirmed to be all within the same continuity. Right, starting with, I guess, not Dark Knight, no.
Yeah.
I guess starting with Man of Steel. I suppose that Man of Steel will be considered the first.
Yeah.
The Zack Snyder, yeah. Because then if we're talking bad ones.
Yeah.
We got Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, Wonder Woman 1984. Oh, well, wait, what did you think of Wonder Woman 1984?
Yeah, it's not good.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't seen it yet either. I watched Soul that day instead.
I watched both. We had to make it better with Soul.
Right, yeah. Soul, I liked Soul.
Yeah, Soul's good.
It got a bit of shit, and I understand some of the shit that it got, but overall I thought it was really nice.
No, I really liked it. Yeah. Justice League, not good.
Justice League, yeah. So Aquaman, Suicide Squad. Is that it? Are we caught up?
Yeah. I think that's it.
Like, what are they doing?
I don't know.
You know what it is? It's, I just watched a really interesting video by Patrick H. Willems, who does these like 30-minute YouTube videos that are like movie critiques. And he did one about a retrospective on Kevin Smith. He went back and watched every Kevin Smith movie and decided whether or not they were still good. And he's like, yeah, they're still fine. But Kevin Smith got worse. Kevin Smith sort of regressed into this, like, I'm only going to make movies for the tens of thousands, like not that many people, who will just support everything I do.
That's hard, though. His
his
movies have gotten real bad. Like, real bad.
Yeah. I mean, I went and saw Jay and Silent Bob Reboot because Annie bought tickets because he was taking it on tour.
Yeah.
And so it was like the movie, and you're in a room with only big Kevin Smith fans.
Uh-huh.
And then he does a Q&A with Jay afterwards. You know, and it was fun.
That actually wasn't bad. Out of all, we actually just watched that recently. And I was like, okay, that was actually funny. It wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, but Yoga Hosiers, literally one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Wow. I haven't seen, I heard Red State was good.
Yeah, Red State's good. That's probably his last good movie, I would say.
I think that's the only Kevin Smith movie that people have said is good that I haven't seen. Because I didn't see Tusk. Oh. I didn't see Cop Out.
I didn't mind Tusk, but it's,
okay,
you know,
yeah,
it's a body horror movie. It's weird. It's really,
sure,
definitely not for everybody.
Yeah.
But yeah, everything after that. But, you know, and Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, do I remember much about it? No, but I laughed when I watched it. I would say,
yeah,
be high.
Like, I remember that when Jay meets Millennium Falcon or whatever his daughter's name is.
Right.
And she like drops down and beats him up and ties him up and takes him into the house. I'm right. Like, what does that mean? And then it's never referenced again.
Yeah. Wait, that's
like
his daughter, right?
That Kevin turns Smith out to be his daughter that he had with Justice.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's Kevin Smith's real daughter.
It's Kevin Smith's real, yes. Yeah, that's the other thing. And she's actually a pretty decent actress.
She's okay.
Yeah, she's okay. Yeah. I don't think she'll have a career outside of things that her father produces, but yeah.
She will not. She was also in that Yoga Hosers movie, and it was, like I said.
Well, that was a spinoff of Tusk, right? He put his daughter, a Johnny Depp's daughter, in Tusk, and then decided, oh, they were the best part of the movie. But we don't need to shit on Kevin Smith. The last 20 years have done that enough already. What we need to do is, like, we're talking about, it's the DCEU, like, the Suicide Squad. Everything about it sounds pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like that John Cena's in it.
Nathan Fillion, like,
yeah,
it's gonna be good.
It's got a lot, everyone who was alive at the end of the previous movie is back.
Yeah.
Oh, not Will Smith.
Will Smith. Idris Elba is replacing Will Smith,
but not playing Deadshot. He's playing
a new character. Yeah,
filling that same role, which is what they should do with, should we talk about The Mandalorian?
Yeah, we should talk about it.
Don't recast Cara Dune. Come up with a new character. Just move on. That's my stance.
You don't think that Lucy Lawless should replace her?
I think that Lucy Lawless would be a fantastic addition to the cast, but I don't think she should play the character Cara Dune.
Yeah. I think it would be funny. for only that reason.
give her the tattoo, give her the yeah. armor and everything, and just say, Cara Dune, were you always from New Zealand? And she's like, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Like, just have her real accent and everything.
Yeah.
Hilarious. She's like, wow, you've aged a little bit. Like,
right.
They could do like a thing where she like goes through like another planet and like warps her face or something. I don't know. Like,
sure. It could just, like they could even have her get, because, okay, this is my like big brain, galaxy brain, Star Wars conspiracy theory. But you know how Luke, at the beginning of Empire, Luke gets beat up by the Wampa? I'm 100% sure that that scene would not have been in the movie if Mark Hamill hadn't been in a motorcycle accident that changed what his face looked like.
Right, exactly.
Okay, that's not like a conspiracy theory. Is that like, that's like a...
No, I think that's totally true.
Okay.
They put that scene in there because of that.
Oh, okay. Also, it was really great. Like, it made Luke look like a chump, which is exactly what they should do.
Yeah, absolutely.
So just do that, have Cara Dune get attacked by a Wampa. and then when she comes out of the hydration tube, she's Lucy Lawless.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Or they'll probably do a thing where she gets killed, and then it turns out like it's her sister or something, like comes to like find her, and that is Lucy Lawless.
Jara Schmoon.
Jara Schmoo.
Well, if your sisters, why do you have a different last name? Shut up.
Oh my god. Yeah, yeah. I mean, never read the comments is my lesson learning from that.
Oh Christ. Oh Christ.
Even on Skyver. Ugh. Like, usually Instagram's like the safe zone, but it was not when that happened. Never have I seen so much like free Cara Dune, hashtag free Cara Dune. I was like,
and what's crazy is that if she'd waited like a week, maybe she could have gotten a way better deal, like a way better, like, here's what I'm gonna do now. But she waited a day, and now she's working with Ben fucking Shapiro.
Ooh.
And there's gonna make conservative ass action movies. It's gonna be a fucking nightmare.
She'll just
but
go
no
back
one will see him, so that's fine.
Right? Wasn't she in an Expendables movie? I think she was.
I only saw the first one.
Okay.
I thought Ronda Rousey, was it Ronda Rousey in the third one? Or maybe, no, maybe it was.
She was in Gina one Carano. Of them. Yeah, she was in one of them.
Oh, okay.
She's also not a very good actress.
Also, hot take, I don't know why all these MMA people are transitioning to acting. I don't know why they have to do that.
I don't know. Because
like,
they make more money that way?
Huh?
They make more money that way and don't have to put their bodies on the line?
Well, I mean, yeah. I don't think that they would make. I don't think you can make more money. I mean, think about how much MMA fighters get paid for one fight. You know.
I don't actually know.
Oh, okay. They get paid. Well, I guess like the top tier ones get paid like a shitload. Like,
yeah.
I think
what's the top?
But you have to be at the top. Yeah. And Gina Carano was a very important. I mean, but you don't. You don't become a bankable enough MMA star unless you make it that far. Like Ronda Rousey had such a crazy undefeated streak.
Right.
And she seems to have her head on correctly, maybe.
Yeah. Isn't she in WWE now?
No, she was for just over a year.
Oh.
And then she lost one match at WrestleMania and then has literally not been seen since.
Oh.
Yeah, she debuted at the Royal Rumble, which is 2 months before Mania, had her first match at Mania, then wrestled fairly consistently. She wasn't pulling a part-timer schedule, which is a complaint that a lot of people have when these sort of people come in. She wrestled every pay-per-view, sometimes on Raw, and then the WrestleMania after she debuted, so literally 1 year, she lost for the first time and then disappeared.
Wrestling is real.
It's so real. Yeah, and I don't know what she's doing. They were talking about remaking Roadhouse with her, which I think would be kind of dope.
Oh yeah, that was a thing.
Yeah, like, I mean, you know, Roadhouse is one of those movies that I think a remake, especially a modern remake, could
work.
It wouldn't taint the legacy of the original. It would be kind of its own thing, you know?
Especially because so many kids have definitely not seen Roadhouse at this point.
Right.
Like, I definitely mentioned that movie at the bar, and they're like, what? Who?
I watched Roadhouse for the first time. Yeah, I mean, look, Dirty Dancing's great, Ghost is great, but his best performance is Roadhouse. I will not let anyone argue with me on this. He's so fucking good in that movie. Rule number one, be nice. He's great. He's good in everything.
MTV was literally playing Ghost for 24 hours yesterday.
Why?
Because it was Valentine's
Day. Oh, Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. But also, I was like, who's watching Ghost? And none of the kids, yeah. I don't even know, do kids watch MTV? I'm pretty sure they just watch YouTube. But if they turned it on yesterday, they would be like, oh, your introduction to Patrick Swayze and Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah. Her first Oscar.
Yes.
And then she followed that up with Star Trek.
Right after Ghost?
Not right after, but pretty sure. Like, imagine she was at the peak of her career when she went and did Star Trek.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's wild. She's like, I'm going to go do TV. I'm not even going to be the lead character.
Well, Star Trek was a very popular show.
Yeah. Well, she was on from the first season, right? From first season of Next Gen?
No, she's not on the first season.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
I don't think. I could be wrong. All the Trekkies out there are like, hey!
Yeah.
Fuck you guys.
And then they're like, we're called Trekkers now.
Or are they?
Oh, yeah, that's been a thing for a long time. They don't like being called Trekkies.
Why? Is it derogatory?
Yeah, basically. They think it infantilizes being a Star Trek fan. So they're like, no, we're called Trekkers.
Oh, okay. That's so different.
There was a an SNL sketch with Shatner where he plays himself. And he's at a Star Trek convention and he tells all the Trekkies to get a life. And after that sketch aired, they're like, we don't want to be called Trekkies anymore.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the distinction is a Trekkie is someone who likes Star Trek. A Trekker is someone who likes Star Trek and is annoying.
that holds up, I think.
Yeah.
All right, we have a lot to talk about with WandaVision, so let's just get into it now.
This is the WandaVision hour. Not an hour. We're not going to talk about WandaVision.
It might be. I don't know. There's a lot to cover. We have two episodes to talk about because we have not
just talked. Two?
Yeah, it's just been two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It's only been
I thought because last episode we didn't talk about WandaVision at all because we were interviewing a guy who wrote that Dracula comic.
Rich Davis.
Rich Davis, thank you.
Jeez.
Thanks. I hope you're listening, Rich. Sorry, I forgot your name.
Aww. He really liked being on the show too, Jacob.
It was great to have him. He was really fun. I'd have him back when volume two of, I don't even remember the name of the comic. Cult of Dracula.
Jeez. It was only 2 weeks ago.
I liked it. I just, you know, anyway.
Anyways, okay, well, we're going to talk about two episodes of WandaVision.
He just turned the show off.
No.
Yeah. the 70s, the Family Ties episode and the Malcolm in the Middle episode.
Correct.
Yeah.
So let's just get into it.
Yeah. Okay.
So the big reveal, I literally messaged you like right after I watched the episode because my head was exploding. Right. And I mentioned it on the podcast that it might have happened. Mm-hmm. And it was when Peter or Pietro, he has so many names now, Quicksilver shows up at the end of that episode, which is insane. That whole episode was insane.
That was awesome. Like, was man, so good. I thought that the craziest thing that happened that episode was when the credits were rolling, but their argument continued. That was fucking surreal.
It was.
That was like, I was watching that. I'm thinking, how is this the first time this has happened in anything where like it's just credits, opaque credits covering what's happening, but the story's still going? And also, those are the real credits for the TV show, fun fact.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So there's a whole other extra level of like meta weirdness. And it was just, like, it reminded me of Too Many Cooks. Remember that from like 5 years ago? That Adult Swim.
Oh, yeah, short. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It was like a TV show theme song that was the entire half hour or whatever, or 11 minutes. And how like it was like unsettling, but also felt completely right. And then right when it looked like it was about to go into your standard Marvel Cinematic Universe Civil War fight,
Right.
There's a knock at the door. That was crazy.
Yeah. So there was this episode was called On a Very Special Episode. They made comments about like, it was kind of like growing pains or like family ties, like you said, too. Just the opening of the episode was literally like the theme of family ties.
Yeah, with the watercolor at the beginning.
Yeah. And like the photos too. Mm-hmm. There was just so many things in this episode. But this is where they had the twins, right? The twins start growing up. I just watched.
Yeah, the twins were born in the previous episode, and this is right. When they're like accelerating. Yeah.
Yeah. And Catherine Hahn, who plays Agnes, has like a big role in this one as well. She like starts showing up even more in the house, and starts like almost taking care of the twins, I think, even more, we haven't talked about her as much, and what our theories have been behind, but I really think that she is Agnetha Harkness.
Right. That's been a theory since, I mean, you thought that going back to the first episode, right?
Yeah. But like really now, like and even more so in the next episode, where we see her in the witch hat in the car.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That's something that didn't occur to me. The witch hat. That's something that I blanked on. I just thought, oh, it's Halloween, but you're right. That is probably, but then the fact that she, when Vision, hopefully everyone listening has seen the episode, Vision turned her brain back on by because he could just phase his fingers into someone's head. We don't need to think about it. there are so many questions that will never be explained about this show. Why was it being transmitted on a signal that could be picked up by an old TV? Why did Vision just face his hands into someone's head and turn it on and off? You know what? We don't need to worry about it. It's a TV show. how she both seemed just like the guy from the previous episode, but also not.
Yeah. Well, she starts screaming immediately, right?
Yeah.
And she, I can't remember exactly what she says, but she starts... Yeah, she starts screaming something. Well, it's like it is relevant to her character
Weird is because this was confirmed by Monica Rambeau after she got out and by the dude who works with Vision that they are aware of what's going on the whole time. They just aren't in any control.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So when she was like, oh, hey, you're the Vision. Aren't you the Vision? Aren't you one of the Avengers? Are you here to save us? But like, hasn't she been seeing through her own eyes the whole time? Why would she?
Well, she said so, and same with Agatha, right? So she knows what she has been, or she knows what's going on, right?
So right, but she pretended that she didn't.
Right, exactly.
Or she genuinely didn't, so that's the question.
Right, so she could be pretend, or she could be masterminding it. Who knows? Or she could be a pawn. One of the other big theories is that it actually could be Mephisto.
Sure.
Controlling everything.
I do like the idea that it's a thing that I like that keep Wanda redeemable. That she is being controlled by someone. Yeah. That it's not entirely her. Yeah.
Right, and that it's like bringing out her powers. Billy and Tommy, the twins, with Pietro or Peter, he calls them like demon spawn. And he actually makes several hell comments throughout the entire episode, of the last episode. And then also there's the claymation, commercial as well.
Right.
Which is, Faustian commercial, basically. It's super dark. And so that seems very relevant to like Mephisto as well.
What was the creature that gave him the yogurt? Was it a shark?
It was a shark.
Okay, maybe that's nothing. Maybe that's just because it was the desert island.
Yeah, it is very devilish though. Like,
yeah.
You know, he had that very devilish grin. And then also, you know, Billy and Tommy in the comic, they have that Mephisto connection as well. Well, I have it actually right here. I mean, make sure I had notes for it. If we're to follow the events in the comic book arc that inspired the WandaVision events thus far, Tommy and Billy are eventually reabsorbed by Mephisto and years later are reincarnated into the Young Avengers, Speed and Wiccan.
Oh, I thought it was Master Pandemonium. Mm-mm. Not Mephisto. Okay.
Yeah, it was Mephisto. Uh-oh. Yeah. So, I mean, and I know. Seems kind of like they're really just throwing all of those hints at us. Mm-hmm. But, or maybe we're just reading into it too much. I don't know. Or they just want us to think that. I don't know.
So here's the one reason why I don't think any of this is what's going to happen. And this is the only reason that I think this. Mm-hmm. And maybe this could be the time when they change it. But
right.
the pattern that I have noticed with the Marvel Cinematic Universe is that the twist is never, this is what happened in the comics.
Right. Yeah.
So if you look at like even the comics, even the movies that take their titles from comic book storylines, Winter Soldier, Civil War, Age of Ultron, Infinity War, are drastically different from the comics from which they take their name.
Yeah.
Very little in common. When Thanos gets the Infinity Gems, most of them are on Earth. Which in the comics, I think one of them was on Earth.
Yeah, I think one was.
Yeah. And like everything else is so completely different. So, and they're not really, as much as we like to, as much as they also aren't making these movies and shows for the comic book fans. They're making them for the movie fans and people and people who don't know what the hell this is in general.
Yeah.
So like the stuff that was for us was Billy and Tommy getting their powers and right. wearing costumes similar to Wiccan and Speed. That was great. That yeah. was for us. And but I don't think that any...
Yeah, the Quicksilver costume and then obviously Vision and, right. and Scarlet Witch's costumes, which was and so the, like, exciting.
Explanation.
No yeah, explanation.
That was great.
Saying
oh,
it was
like a... I'm a fortune teller. You're a Mexican wrestler. Let's just right. move on. That was yeah. awesome.
Yeah.
I think it will likely be a new character reveal that explains sort of like what's going on here. Like maybe, and maybe, hey, maybe it is Mephisto. I think that Doctor Strange is going to show up
yeah.
in the finale, if not earlier. They did also confirm today that there's three more episodes and they'll all be an hour long.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow. Because originally, yeah, when I found out there was a new episode, because originally they said 6 episodes. Obviously not true.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. And,
yeah. So maybe it's just 6 episodes of the other shows. I don't know.
Maybe the other shows will be an hour too.
Maybe. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, whereas all of these have been closer to sitcom length.
Right. Well, that's
I mean, I think even the first episode was straight up 24 minutes with that little commercial, 22
that
minutes.
That was really short. Yeah. The first one.
Yeah.
Look, we also have to talk about Monica. So,
yes.
Her DNA has been altered. And they only gave one hint of the photon. I think it said like photon or did it say binary? Like they showed like really quick of a flash of like her mom. And then it either said binary or photon. I don't remember which one.
Oh, well, her call sign when she was a pilot was photon.
It was photon. Okay.
Yeah.
So this might be like when she gets her powers as well.
Maybe. She gets her powers from Wanda. That'd be weird.
It would be weird. Well, not again. Yeah, it's more like she got her powers from that weird, what they're calling the hex, right?
Yeah.
So it might have altered her DNA and she is getting energy blasting hyper cosmic powers now from that.
Yeah. I don't think that they'll have her go full Monica Rambeau, Captain Marvel, Photon, etc.
Yeah.
I think they might just give her light blasts. I don't think she would turn, that they have her turn into light. Although it's such a fucking cool power and it would look so cool on the big screen.
It would look really cool.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Darcy says, that like radiation rewrote her cells on a molecular level. So who knows? I mean, she has powers. So can't she she can also manipulate her body, right? It's like she can shape change.
She can turn into light. So
right.
the possibilities of what she actually can do are endless. Like, when you can turn into light and move at the speed of light, who, like, there's no rule that says that no one can say, like she can do anything to her body, you know, when she can change her back on that level. So, yeah.
And she moves at the speed of light. She has superhuman speed. She has strength. Manipulate body manipulation is what I think they called it. So she has a lot of crazy powers. Do we think we'll see Carol too? They keep mentioning her. They mentioned her for the second time. So she.
I don't think so, because she's isn't she off in space with the Skrulls again? Didn't she split after Endgame?
Yeah, she split.
I don't really see any reason she would come back for this. Then maybe they've had two episodes hinting that Monica knows an engineer or something.
Yeah.
An asteroid. She got in contact with him, which would be disappointing if it wasn't a character from the movies or something.
Yeah.
So, or a new bringing somebody into the MCU that hasn't been seen yet.
Right.
A lot of fans think it'll be Reed Richards. I hope it isn't. That would be a disappointing way to bring in Reed Richards, if I'm being honest.
Why would that be disappointing?
Because it's Reed Richards. He should, like, the Fantastic Four should get their own movie. Like, it shouldn't be like, oh, hey, here's Reed. And then he's going to, like, no powers for a while. And then, you know.
What if he already has powers?
And they just don't talk about why he has powers?
I just don't think they should rewrite their, or, you know, do another origin movie for them. They could just be like, look, it's Reed.
Okay,
the Fantastic Four.
You have not been hanging around the strap when me and Robert have talked about how a new Fantastic Four movie could totally work, and they could totally do the origin again, as long as it's not about the origin. That's my thing.
No origin, just like Spider-Man, just go right into it. We all know.
They don't really do it. They don't really do that. Like, I think we've had, really, if we're talking how they got their powers, two origin movies. Iron Man, Captain America, and Ant-Man.
Yeah. We don't need any more Fantastic Four origin movies. I'm sorry. If they were bad, we all know.
In the version I wrote, they get their powers in the first 5 minutes and then we don't talk about it.
I hope so. That last one was so boring.
The first scene, they're on the ship, they're getting ready to launch, and then they launch, and then the movie starts. That's great.
That's it? Okay.
That's how they, and then the rest of it is like, okay, now we have powers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't think they'll do it that way. It'll just be long and arduous and get right into it. Do Silver Surfer, Galactus, issue 50.
Yeah.
Issue 48.
The Josh Trank one, they didn't get their powers until halfway through the movie, right?
Halfway, yeah. It
fucking
was like
a waste of time.
45 minutes in.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Boring. Nightmare.
Yeah. I mean, I agree Dr. Doom should be in it, but you gotta have Doom in a Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah.
Or maybe you don't. I don't know.
Maybe it's like a supporting character and he's not, and he's like, so, I mean, I don't want to talk too much about because I did write a treatment. But yeah, he's not the main villain, but he's sort of supporting the main villain, and then the next movie he's the main villain. But he's in it, because now Doom's gotta be in it. Doom's an inexorable part of Fantastic Four.
Yeah. You can make Doom a good guy for one movie.
Sure. I mean, they sort of did that, like in the first one with Chris Evans and Michael Chiklis and Jessica Alba and them.
Right.
He was on the ship and he got his powers at the same time, right?
Yeah they did. Yeah. That's how they did it.
Oh, no. That was Ultimate Fantastic Four.
They did that. He got powers in Fantastic Four. That's how he got his powers in the movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe they took it from Ultimate. Was that at the same time? Those got released at the same time, right?
They were around the same time, yeah.
I would like to see an Ultimate Fantastic Four. I want to see bad Reed Richards.
Oh, where he's like the, yeah. Like,
with a weird head thing.
Yeah.
That was a good book.
In like he was in Secret Wars? Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy.
I just want to see that Secret Wars too. I hear they are going to do that though, so.
Oh, like Battle World and everything?
Mm-hmm. That's what... They're not going to do the old Secret Wars.
That would be a good... Oh, with like the alternate universes all colliding. Like as a follow-up to Multiverse of Madness?
I mean, they're the next big movie. That's what they're supposed to do. Well, that's what a rumor is anyways. We'll see.
I think they could do Battle World, like with the chunks of planets, like the original one, but it would just be depending on which characters they wanted to use.
Yeah. I think the Jonathan like you'd have better. It's more updated anyways.
I guess, but there's so much like baggage. There's so much like, I mean, if you're going to bring in chunks of different realities, you have to do a bit of more of a job establishing. I mean, I guess maybe you don't.
I don't think so. It's more contained. Less gym shooter wordiness. More Hickman wordiness. Like,
did you read Beyond from like the 2000s?
No.
It was just they were redoing Secret Wars, but with the only character who was in the original one was Spider-Man, and then it was like Gravity and a couple of the new X-Men and all characters who weren't in the original, and like some older characters, but the whole team except for Spider-Man were not in the original Secret Wars, and it was Beyond or sort of like, I'm just going to try it again. Do the exact same thing a second time. And so I think that if they did something like, and so it was sort of Spider-Man like going like not quite remembering the original. I don't really remember. It was fun. And I think that
really made an impact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was during my I'll read anything phase. Okay, I have a much more discerning taste.
Also, it's no longer in print.
Yeah, it's definitely out of print. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Marvel's like, oh, it's still on our store. It's 99 cents for the 6-issue paper.
Well, we'll see.
Anyway. WandaVision is very, very dope, and I look forward to it every week, and I'm excited. Now that we know what the MCU TV shows look like, ignoring friggin' Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Inhumans and Daredevil and Jessica Jones and Luke Cage and Iron Fist and Defenders. Now that we know what the MCU shows look like.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, the new Winter Soldier, Falcon trailer dropped as well. It looks
nice.
Really, really good. And I mean, that's coming up then, literally directly after WandaVision. So.
And then Loki's coming out after that, probably.
Yep.
And I think Black Widow will be on Disney Plus around then.
Hopefully.
Just put it out. I bet if they did a similar thing to the Mulan thing, whereas if they, like maybe not $30, but people would pay $20.
Yeah, I would watch it for $20. I just want to see it. I just want to watch it.
The thing is, we're pretty sure that Black Widow is going to be dope, whereas I knew that Mulan was going to be bad, and I was right.
It was okay. It wasn't that bad. But I have no attachment to the Disney cartoon version.
I do.
Yeah. None. I had none. I haven't seen it since it came out in theaters. The original.
It's fucking good. The action's still good.
Yeah.
The music is great.
Right.
No. Fucking
Christina
slap.
Aguilera do the music? Or she did one song.
Over the end credits.
Right.
It's not in the movie.
Yeah.
Ming-Na Wen, the who plays she's Boba Fett's homie in Mandalorian.
Yeah, she has the Disney Gambit right now. She runs the Gambit.
Yeah.
Shows.
Marvel.
Marvel,
Star Wars, and then and she was the voice of Mulan.
Good for
and
her.
And she was in the live action Mulan for really just as a cameo. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
She was also in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. Wait, is she another Marvel character?
Yeah. Well, she's an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, I thought that's what we meant as the Marvel character.
Oh, well, yeah, she's an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Marvel character.
Oh, okay, sure.
She's not like a mutant or inhuman.
They should put her, if they could get like, you know, if they wanted to, because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. feels like a different universe. If they bring those characters and put them in WandaVision or something.
Well, they could.
They could.
Yeah, they could put Colton, Steve Colt, what's his name?
Coulson.
Agent Coulson. Colton.
Yeah. They could. Colton. I mean, but he's, if you haven't watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., then he's dead.
Oh, yeah. But he's not dead, though, right? Or did he die?
In Avengers, he died.
Oh.
They brought him back for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but they haven't shown him in any other piece of MCU media besides Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Except in Avengers.
No, he didn't show up in any of the subsequent Avengers movies.
Oh.
You'd think he'd be in
Captain
Infinity
Marvel?
In,
No, they talked about him in Captain Marvel.
Oh, he totally could have been in Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
There's no reason that he couldn't have been. There's no reason that he wasn't. But I don't think that he. I mean, maybe and maybe he even was for like a moment.
I think Nick Fury just talked about him.
Maybe.
Yeah. All right. Well.
Anyway, that's been the WandaVision half hour.
Well, I have to go. You're not watching it, but now.
If you're not watching it, but you listen to the show, I think that's weird.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
Definitely. Yeah. Stay tuned for more WandaVision.
Yeah. Next episode, we'll talk about whatever has come out since.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm Jessica Baldoni.
And I'm Jacob Rubin. Thanks for listening to the Skeptics Comics Podcast. And remember, we didn't have a sign off. That was your point. That was your cue to say, make up the sign off.
Yeah. Did I think of something and then forget it?
We were toying around with legitimately doing Don't Escape, which is dreadful.
Don't Escape?
Don't Escape.
Don't Escape.
Yeah. Or actually, at the end of the show, you've escaped. Listen to something else now.
That's not bad.
That's not bad. It. Yeah. Congratulations on escaping. You're free.
You're free. One day.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.